Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's the winner. That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two to the corner. Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louisan! Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Martin, I don't know if you realize this, but we are in the same studio with Mizzou apologist and supporter, Plowsy, who predicted live on the radio just moments ago, I think he's maybe said it before, but 11-1 and beating Georgia.
That is correct. Losing to South Carolina. You're going to have one of those Mizzou duds in there. But yeah, I don't know how you can't be confident looking at the schedule outside of the early game against West Virginia. It's a down program. It's a top, you know, it's a Power 5 program, though, so... You know, you don't want to take them for granted, but I just, you feel with Kelly Bryant, there's a different element there. Obviously not a polished passer like Drew Locke, but I think with the weapons there, Mizzou has some speed. I just think at the end of the day, I think this is a better team than they were last year, an easier schedule. And I think they have something to prove with the bowl ban, you know, the potential bowl ban or the, you know, the probation or whatever they've been put on. I think they're just a chip on Barry Odom and this Mizzou team, and I see a big season. It would be so Mizzou, though, to have that big season mean next to nothing in the grand scheme of things if they don't go to the postseason.
Has Howard Richards gotten to you? I mean, I'm at 12-0. In case Howard's listening, I'm at 12-0. So Plowsy did the smart thing, which is make a bold prediction. And if it happens, I think Randy Carricker said the Rams were going 13-3 in 1999.
Well, really?
Remember, wasn't he the
guy? Yeah, he may have.
Said something like that. Everybody said, "You buffoon, what are you talking?" And then they went 13-3. On the other hand, Frank's favorite caller for years was 3-13 Ray.
Right, yeah.
He would call in and say, "Yeah, these guys are going 3-13. And he just became known as 3-13 Ray. So this is going to be your thing, Plowsy. You're going to be the guy that called it.
Still an Illinois fan. Still have high hope for Lovey in the future.
They might win four games.
I think, but they're trending
well,
at
what
a 7-8.
What is the latest? I know they haven't started camp, but I hear that the Juice Williams has a chance to be the starter.
If you look at their depth chart, they have no starting quarterback listed.
Wow. That would be so unbelievable that a 5'10", 170-pound, like 18-year-old from Little Trinity is starting in the Big Ten next year.
For me,
I'm not doubting him either.
Why not do it?
Yeah, what the heck?
I mean, you have no buzz.
I like him as a cornerback, a returner, but honestly, you need the ball in his hands as much as possible. Probably your best playmaker, and Anthony played it down in college football. So you might as well try the experiment. He has a secondary position. If it doesn't work out, recruit a quarterback, get another one in there, and then put him at a D-back position where he would have been fine in high school. So at this point, Illinois just needs to do whatever they can to salvage anything. Yes.
And I think we're the home of the Illini, so of course we have them at 12-0. But wouldn't you start? Wouldn't you start the
if
kid?
I'm Lovey, just say what the blank and let's try
it. Oh, absolutely.
Well, this has got to be his last year if they have a bad year,
well,
correct?
No, with your Lovey, don't you start the true freshman and say, hey, I had a true freshman this year.
So you
can't fire
there.
Me after yeah. that.
When Jeff Luhnow got to Houston, he said, this is going to take at least 5 years. It's the smartest thing in the world. You arrive day one, you buy yourself time.
But you can't. I mean, Lovey's already into it.
Well, you feel like.
Is it 3 years?
This is his fourth.
This is his fourth.
So he
signed that extension, too. Is it the Trinity coach Patterson instead of last name? Or
yeah,
I mean,
the tight ends coach now.
Give him the head coaching position next year if you win two games. I mean, he knows the recruits in the area. Just
but
you know,
the
give
problem
him the reins.
Is the recruits in the area are going with Barry Odom and not.
Oh, that's true. That's
Patterson.
100%. Well, it's an easier program. You know, they have a new facility. You know, they have that.
Yeah.
I mean, Illinois probably has the worst facilities in the Big Ten as far as football. I don't even know who would come close. They're well behind the times, and it's a tough to get a kid from Florida or California. I'm not aboard.
The Barry wagon. Remember Woody's wagon, Frank?
That's right.
Woody Wiedenhofer came in and said, get on the wagon, everybody. And then it was seen skidding down the highway. Didn't quite work
out.
What
a succession of just brutal hires. From Bob Stahl, Woody Wiedenhofer, the beginning of Larry. Larry Smith had a little bit of success, but not much.
I think at least Larry, the resume you bought into. USC and Arizona, maybe? Was it Arizona State or Arizona? So the Larry Smith hire made sense. Bob Stahl, immediately everybody said rhymes with dull.
It was 17 or 18 years of futility. That's unbelievable. Remember the games? In fact, we had a guest on recently talking about how they would watch. Oh, we had Will Franklin. Remember he said he used to watch the games on Channel 11? They'd get slaughtered and everything?
Yeah. Wow. He was talking about how Pinkel took him out of the dark ages.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Rich Gould wasn't listening. He said, man, the games are on Channel 11. I'm like, hey, that's our sister station.
And it all started with Pinkel when he trashed your question.
That's not a very good question. I wish we could find that audio. It probably exists in the Mizzou archive somewhere.
Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. I think we're going to be broadcasting there on Thursday, where some of the Indy cars will be in action. Let's begin with lap one. Now, guys, I could start with Cubs cards and trade rumors, but I can't not when a mother in South St. Louis put her baby in a freezer for 37 years. Our reporter at Five on Your Side, Justina Coronel, picks up the story. You got to hear this.
There's a lot on Adam Smith's plate right now. He's not only packing up his life, he's also dealing with the death of his mom, Barbara.
Diagnosed with small cell lung cancer.
Smith recently moved into her South St. Louis apartment to help her while she was sick. And after she passed away last week, Smith started rummaging through her stuff.
I was trying to figure out what I'm going to take and what I'm not.
As he was shuffling through the freezer to see what to keep or toss, he saw a box.
I'm 37, and it has been in my freezer for 37 years. And I was always told it was like a wedding cake top.
His curiosity took over. Smith thought, in that box there could be that wedding cake top, or there could even be money.
I pulled it out and I set it directly right here. I grabbed this knife exactly right here, and I just cut through the plastic and opened it up.
But what his eyes saw was something he was not expecting.
And it turns out it was a baby.
The frozen baby was wrapped in a pink fleece.
It still had skin, hair, and everything. It was mummified. After that, I just freaked out. I put it back into the box, and I called police right away.
Smith tells us that he never thought to look in that box before.
I've asked her several times. It was either a no-no conversation, she blew me off. My mom has always been so secretive about things throughout life.
Smith started to realize that his mom mentioned before about his sibling passing away before he was born.
We're saying, what, 46, 47? That's how long? I assume it's my sister. Has been in a box in a freezer for this long.
A shaken up Smith is disturbed after unveiling a chilling secret that's been tucked away for years.
Finding this, I'm more like confused, angry, and I just want to find closure. I want to know more answers.
Wow. How about that?
You're dealing with the loss of your mother first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you find out she's a psychopath.
Yeah. And then your emotions from grief, all of a sudden anger, confusion. How weird is the story? I mean, that feels like all these weird shows we watch on Netflix and we talk about, and then it's real life. It's horribly sad,
it's
first of all.
It's 15 minutes from here. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a weird show we'd watch on a Sunday night and we'd all come in here and talk about on Monday how creepy and eerie it was. It's horribly sad, first of all. I don't know if we know the circumstances.
But, I mean, she put a baby in a freezer.
Well, no, I mean, did the baby die and then she held on to it, or did she murder the baby?
My guess would be if maybe, I mean, I don't.
What I'm saying is now I need to know more about how did the baby die.
I want to know more. I hope maybe the baby just passed away naturally and she just did not know how to react
emotionally,
to it.
Emotionally,
she couldn't let go. And
right.
She
I don't know if we could ever, if doctors could ever determine that, though.
I don't know. They've determined deaths from mummies from thousands of years ago. They could probably find a cause of death for this baby.
They have a picture of the woman, too, and she looks like she could be like a creature in a Stephen King novel. She just looks that, you know, crazy.
Yeah, the level of mental illness. for this to take, like, not only to do it, but then to live with it and know every time you open your freezer, that's, ugh.
She looks like kind of an older, crazier Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
You see in the picture there?
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw when I was pulling the sound.
You know, anytime you go into work and you're a news reporter, you have no idea what your story might be. Like, you know, you're probably going to the Cardinals game, or you might be going down to Mizzou. And you're a news reporter and you walk in. I think Jeff Bernthal was there for us last night. You come home, and if your family didn't know what you did, like, hey, what was your story tonight, honey? Yeah. Like, I'd rather not say.
And
just
then
brutal.
I get an email today. Congratulations to this reporter, Justina, because hers was the most watched story in the Tegna family all over the country. I'd say so.
Well, I don't think congrats is necessarily the way to approach it, though.
She did a good job with the
story.
She
did. Yeah. It's a very good story, but the story is horrifying.
Horrible. But that's a story, sadly, people will click on across the globe.
Oh.
Because it's just, because it's the brother of the girl, right? I mean, discovering, whether he ever knew her or not, it's his sister. After mom dies, you're going through her stuff, and you stumble into that. And I like the line where the reporter said he thought it might even include some money, because there was always this thing tucked away. So you fantasize a little bit, you know, money under the bed, into the walls, or whatever. Just brutal.
You're probably mentally going through every time you've eaten out of that freezer.
Correct.
Grab the popsicle, grab the frozen pizza or something. Oof.
I'm sure our first text today will be, I thought this was a sports show. We want you to break down Harrison Bader's win above replacement.
All right. That's as jarring of headline as we've had in a while.
Lap two. So let's go to this trade deadline. Robbie Ray is second in the National League in strikeouts. And then there's his teammate, Zach Greinke. And I've been looking at him for a while here. Big deal if you owe him. It would be $30 million a year next season, and actually the season after that. And I think he's 37? Bob Nightingale, do you think if you went to Greinke and you said you could go to the Cardinals, what would he do?
But, yeah, I don't know. I know he's very comfortable in Arizona. He just likes pitching, you know, and that's it. You know, there's no marketing or promoting or anything like that. So, yeah, he very well could accept a trade to St. Louis. But, you're right. I mean, he makes a ton of money, $32, $34 million a year. But, you know, if you're paying that kind of money down, it wouldn't cost that much in terms of prospects.
What do you think?
I think it's the kind of move you should pursue, because it would be bold. If you can't do it because you owe Carpenter $20 million next year, you should be kicking yourselves all the way down the hall, all the way down to the field, because Greinke, granted, he's been on a lot of different teams. Look at his numbers. He's still productive. I don't care what he makes. Look at your rotation now.
Wait till the DeWitts find this out, huh?
I don't care. I don't care what it costs.
You're never going to be allowed in those lofts again.
You've got Flaherty and Hudson, some young guys, some core guys. Greinke's not a dynamic leader. That's not what I'm saying. But a veteran guy to bring into this mix who's still at a high level, that's a bold move. Zach Roscup is not a bold move.
Yeah, we'll get to him in just a moment.
Bring in a guy like Greinke, and I think fans will say, hey, you went for it. It may not work, but we respect it. And you could use it. He's valuable next year. You need him next year. If you're looking at your rotation,
do you
need him down the road? Yes.
You know who's being heavily pursued and talked about by a lot of teams now is Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler's no better than Adam Wainwright right now. And yet the Astros are talking about him being a key to their plans.
It is a bad market.
Oh.
And if you get a Greinke,
or Ray,
that's a blockbuster, though. Yeah. That's a name. That's something that the rest of the division takes note.
All right, lap three. So the minor moves the Cardinals are making. Lane Thomas is up, and Harrison Bader has been sent down to Memphis. Cardinals acquired Zach Roscup from the Dodgers. Now, he has to be close to some kind of record, Martin, because if he gets to St. Louis, that would be four big league teams in the same season. Seattle, Toronto, L.A., and now St. Louis. He's not here yet. He's going to go to Memphis first, but you have to think he's going to be up sometime. But here's the most interesting thing. Zach Roscup could be the Todd Burns of 2019. If John Mozeliak doesn't make that significant move and the Cardinals don't make the postseason, we'll be talking about this name, Zach Roscup, for years to come. Todd Burns, 1993, Cards were five back at the time, and they had a chance, and they acquired him, and nobody really knew anything about him, and he responded with an ERA in the sixes out of the bullpen. That summed up the Cardinals in that period. Is Zach Roscup going to sum up the Cardinals in 2019?
I was actually thinking about this show, Five for Frank, yesterday.
Really?
When this came out. Because one of my thoughts was, you are John Mozeliak. Do you even want the team to announce this? Could they have just acquired him and not put out a release? Could it have just been like in the transaction somewhere that nobody would have noticed? Did you have to put an official? Because you know, immediately what the backlash is going to be. And if I'm Zach, I say, hey, I am in demand. Four teams have wanted me this year. They're not saying this is a bold move. They're just grabbing a guy that they think maybe has some value down the road. But the optics on it are just terrible. Because people are going to immediately laugh at it. I hope he turns out to be a great reliever, but for a franchise that is frustrated with their lack of bold moves or aggressive nature, I think they look at this and say, Zach Roscoe, are you kidding me? he could become a punchline if there isn't a bigger move.
All right, lap four. So the series itself, in one way, it's not bad on paper for the Cardinals. I mean, Chicago is 20-31 away from home. They're on pace, I think, to lose 50 at home. They're most in a long time. Only two teams have lost more on the road in the National League. But I think if you're a Cubs fan, I think you like these pitching matchups Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Yu Darvish has an ERA of 2 since the All-Star break, and Adam Wainwright doesn't. Kyle Hendricks and Miles Michaelis, there's no doubt Hendricks has been a better pitcher all season long, and he has been incredible against the Cardinals. And John Lester, who's also pretty good against the Cardinals, has had a better year than Jack Flaherty. Now watch the Cardinals sweep. But on paper, Chicago has the edge here.
Yeah, one of those Cubs losses in Milwaukee, I think Lester had like 7 shutout innings. And in a pressure game right now, you'd think Lester against the younger guy, Flaherty, that's an edge to them. Hendricks, Darvish. Yeah, I think on paper, if I'm the Cubs, I feel pretty good about it. And if you go 1-2, now you're back to being 2-4 against quality competition. I know Mike Schilt says we don't measure ourselves against them, but I think it would reaffirm a lot of people to say, well, maybe you're just not that good.
Yeah.
Now, that said, you don't know what's going to happen. You could win 10-9 every single game. You do have 19 left with the Cubs and Brewers. 19 left. That's a lot of games head-to-head. It's about a third of your games the rest of the way.
Is that correct, Brian, that neither team has won a road game in this series?
Yeah. 3-6. Yeah. Swept both times up there.
And then the Cardinals swept the Cubs here.
Yeah. So
you're saying there's a chance,
that's
Frank.
That's right. All right, lap five. Do you remember the worst call in the history of the NFL and maybe in sports? The NFC Championship game, Saints and Rams. Take a listen.
Quick snap. Breeze. Pass is incomplete. No flag for Tommy Lee Lewis. Mikel Roby Coleman delivered a hit. And the two officials talk to each other. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
And it got worse as you kept seeing the replay. I mean, maybe at, you know, one fast speed time, a regular speed time, you didn't notice. And then you realize, man, that's horrendous. So now, Martin, what do you think? A New Orleans judge said yesterday that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and 3 referees should answer questions about the game under oath. Judge Nicole Shepard has scheduled depositions. And get this, the judge said the depositions should take place in New Orleans. Now, most think this suit won't succeed. One challenge was a throwout in a federal court. But if you keep it in a state court, I don't know. If you keep it in New Orleans, it'd be kind of interesting. And I kind of like it.
Yeah, I think most times we'd look at this story and say, this is silly. This is kind of stupid. But because it's Goodell and the NFL and the crosshairs, I like it.
Yeah.
I love the animosity that New Orleans has for the whole league. I become a big Saints fan. I mean, I never disliked the Saints. When Hazlitt and March went at it, we didn't like them here. But for the most part, you know, it's a smaller town. I've always kind of liked the Saints. But I really like them now with this idea that they just hate the league. They hate the commissioner. It's another reason to like the Patriots a little bit because they hate Goodell. They hate the league. I love the fact they have not let it go in New Orleans. I don't know where this will lead, but if it cramps Rodgers' style for even one day or he's got to get on one more private plane, good. Another day of the NFL in court.
All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Did watch the first episode of Boardwalk Empire. Very impressed. I think I'm going to be hooked. Brian, that's your show too?
I've never watched it.
That's
very good.
It's so good. You will just you'll fall in love with multiple characters in this. There's a lot of twists and turns. Every season is very, like, every episode is very intense, has action along with it. I love it.
Has Michael Shannon ever been in anything bad?
No, and
did you see him in the Elvis Nixon movie?
I did not.
Oh, you got to see it. It's when Elvis visits the White House, and he plays the part of Elvis.
The first time I saw him was in Boardwalk Empire when Kim was watching. And he was very notable in that show. And then you started seeing him in more movies and mainstream stuff. He's really good.
He's just a creepy-looking guy.
He is.
And kind of...
In real life, I think he's a little weird, too.
Yeah. Remember the story? He was watching, like, the World Series in a bar in Chicago. I think he's from Chicago. Was watching the Cubs in the world, but he was just like randomly at a bar hanging out with people, and they all kind of turned around and said, "Are you that actor guy?" And he was just sitting there like by himself watching the game.
Yeah.
Maybe a little odd, but he is really good.
One other item, and sometimes when I'm typing chyrons at night, I have ADD, so I want to watch something. So I'm watching that Sebastian Maniscalco on Netflix. That guy is just hilarious. Has anybody seen him in person?
Wasn't he here in town?
Yeah, we saw him at the...
I'm not familiar. I need to check it out.
Yeah, same here.
He is hilarious.
I think Charlie's talked about him too. Is he sort of clean?
He is clean, yeah. But
What are the themes?
Well, he makes fun of his Italian family.
I like it already.
Yes. They're all from Sicily. And then he his wife is Jewish and perfect and comes from a great, loving, encouraging family. Just the contrast there. He just makes fun of everything from, you know, going on a treadmill and working out with other people. It's awesome. So.
Well, I see Frank's future life here. A lot of food, a lot of Netflix. He and Plowsy, maybe there's some pot in Frank's
future.
Dude,
I'm telling you, though, me and Frank,
we
probably watch four. We're in sync. We're on the same cycle as far as shows. We love them. We have the same feeling about Handmaid's Tale, which is amazing. So you will love this.
Is Boardwalk in your... It's not your top five, but top 10.
Not yet, but I'm telling you, I'm getting that. I'm not even halfway through the series
yet. And it's 6 seasons.
Yes. Yeah. At least 5 I know of.
So. The text lines were emphatic about how great it was.
Yes.
And the best response when Plowsy says Mizzou's going 11-1, people will say, "Dude, what are you smoking?" Well, I can answer that. How specific do you need the answer?
If we have Frank's food picks, can we do Frank and Plowsy's
sitting on a
viewing
couch?
Picks?
Yeah,
that would be great. That wouldn't help Frank's brand. It would certainly help my brand. I don't know if it helps his at all.
Finally, speaking of food picks, last night we shot one, and we went to Vito's, the one by St. Louis University.
Oh, have
you guys
been
there before?
I love that place.
Yeah, really very tasty. And on the way out, I bonded with the mother so well. She's about a 75-year-old lady from Terracini, where my family is from. And she said, "I want you to know something." And she shows me her keys, and she says, "Look, if you want to go to Sicily, I have a house there."
Oh my God.
You can go there. I told Monique, "Hey, Monique, we're set for next year's vacation. We're going to Sicily."
Frank's typing in the address on the Google machine. Okay, yeah, we can make that trip happen.
Monique's like, "I thought we were going to Quincy." No. We're going to Sicily.
Screw Dom. We're going to Sicily. In fact, one of the sons said that he just got back and he gained, and he's not a heavy set guy at all. It looks like he's in good shape, but he gained 12 pounds in 2 weeks. I said, "How?" He goes, "Well, we had these lunches with the families at 12 o'clock every day, and everybody contributes, and then we have gelato afterwards, and then we sleep for 2 hours, and then we go to the beach, and then we have another dinner at 9 o'clock. He did this every night for 2 weeks.
Now, one of the sons is named Vito, correct?
Yes.
He had a story. He's actually buddies with Strickland. Believe it or not, that's my guy.
622.
A few years ago, there was a robbery in the parking lot. He got shot in the foot, but he, like, chased the guys down, got his car back. There's some crazy story.
Really?
We got to look this up. But basically, stood his ground, and you want to be smart about it.
Yeah.
But they were going to rob him in the parking lot, and I think he chased him for a block or something.
Oh, good for him.
And got him to toss the keys. There's another twist to this.
Wow. All right. All of a sudden,
maybe they had the keys to mom's place in Sicily. He's like,
right.
"You get back here."
Food picks becoming crime stories. All right, we'll take a short time out. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Make sure you go to their website right away and find out a little bit more about the Bomarito 500. It is coming soon. We are so excited. We're going to be broadcasting live from there on Thursday. Hopefully, we can talk to a Indy car driver and kind of get some insight on what's going on. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.